All right, so here we are on almost the second to the last EFT class. And did everybody come back?
I'm here, Shiloh.
Okay.
I'm
okay,
here.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. It was the weirdest sound, so I thought, uh-oh, are we all here? Okay, so I'm glad we're all here. And I want to... actually answer any questions, comments, observations, have, you know, about EFT and animals right now. If anybody has any questions for me or comments. And somebody sounds like either you have a TV on or a few guests over.
So Joan, it's Karen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I will mute myself as soon as I'm done with the question because I'm not in a quiet environment today. I don't have any other option. But
okay.
Do we know when the makeup class is going to be, the one that we missed, what the date is?
What we're doing is we will add another, and I'm sorry, but I've been out of town, and I have had a number of personal issues come up. So I will get to that, I promise.
Okay, and do we know, I know the last recording that came out was only 25 minutes long, and your office told me they were working on it, but I never heard back from them as to whether that was fixable or not. Or
Elaine, do we know if that was fixable or not?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You know, honestly, and I'm sorry, if I did not get back to you, I thought I did, and so I apologize. We've had an extreme amount of problems with that original email address, and I apologize for that. But no, that call was cut off, and there was no remnant afterwards. There was nothing. It wasn't like it was split in two parts. It just ended after that time, so there was nothing to reclaim.
Okay.
And I did check with Karen about that, Joan, while you were gone, and she didn't have a solution for it either, so... that's it, and I apologize for the lack of contact again.
Thank you, Elaine. Okay, so...
and then, Joan, I just have one more thing, and then I really will mute myself. But what I'm struggling with the most is the transition statements that come from... that are the bridge between the second segment of the tapping sequence and the third. And I'm wondering if you can maybe elaborate a little bit today on what are maybe your five favorite transition statements.
Yeah.
Does my question make sense to you? You kind of know
what point I'm talking
about.
Yeah, and that may be something that I have to think about.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe it just could be sent out in an email, too, or something. But I find myself thinking, gosh, you're the whiz, and there must be certain phrases that you use over and over again because they apply to so many situations. That it would be good to maybe have a few of those in our toolkit. And now I will.
And I really don't want to give you some, like, quick answers on that one.
Okay, that's fine.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Okay, and I am going to mute myself now so you don't have to listen to the coffee shop.
Okay. All right. Okay, anyone else have any questions, comments, observations? I'm trying to write this note, too, so... struggling
as
with
far as the medical part of all of this, what can it address or what it can't address as far as medical conditions?
Sorry, I'm still writing out her stuff.
No, okay.
I am really slow today, because I want to make sure that I get the five favorite and struggling with transition statements from part 2 to 3. Okay, so medical conditions, what it can and what it can't. Great question. I have, the first time I ever taught this class, and it ended up being, this was a few years ago, and I just did a kind of a three-parter on anger, medical, and not anger, on emotional, behavioral. I think we did one on fear, behavioral problems, and medical challenges. And the gal that tapped on her dog, I originally wanted to tap on just her because she had a dog that has a dog that was supposed to be her agility goddess, you know, the life partner of all things agility. And she'd been doing agility with other dogs for years. And the this dog developed a tumor on her right side of her neck, and it had an incredible head tilt, and she could no longer do agility. And so, of course, this brought all these life lessons to the person, and she was eternally grateful. And so what we were doing was simply tapping on the diagnosis of, even though the diagnosis had been a long time ago, we were going to tap on her disappointment about, you know, her fear and the disappointment. And in that particular case, that tumor was benign, but it still was causing, if it were to get any bigger, it would have caused some neurological challenges. And because of that, the woman, you know, always lived with a little bit of fear. So we were tapping on the fear and disappointment. Then I had a crazy idea to tap on the dog, not thinking it would do anything for the tumor. But after that, the head tilt was less and remains less. So that's a pretty big miracle to me.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And then another thing with the... So let's break this down just for 1 second. A human hears the news at a vet's office about a medical condition. That set of emotions is going to compound whatever that condition or diagnosis is for the animal. Now, what the animal is going to have, is they're still going to have this condition or this disease or this infection, and they are going to have their feelings about it. So what we can do for sure is tap on the animal about their feelings about it and tap on the person about their feelings about it. And we could even try to, you know, tap a tumor away, I suppose. But at the same time, if we are just working on the feelings, if both the animal and the person are having less fear about it, it might not be so aggravating, you know, if it's a tumor. It might not be such an angry tumor. It might be, you know, such a raging infection. It might be a, you know, so there's a number of things you could tap on that are going to benefit the medical condition but may not be the miracle. And that said, you may have a miracle still. Does that make sense?
Cool. Yeah.
That's a great question. Any other comments, questions, observations? And I, you know what, I apologize for whatever happened on that technical thing from the bottom of my heart, because I love these calls and having them, and I'm really sorry about that. And I'm wondering, and just note to self and Elaine self, if there's any chance of, you know, maybe we call the conference company and see if they have any way of retrieving that. So, okay. All right. So, Shiloh.
Yes.
What's going on? What do we get to tap on today?
Well, when we first got Dream, she had seizures, and we discovered that it was stress-induced seizures. And it got balanced out with feeding her more frequently and not as much at each one of those feedings. So I'm not sure if that possibility still exists with her. She has done a couple of odd things recently where we'll be just walking and she'll just stop and sit down. And, you know, it's like, I'm done. And that hasn't been normal behavior prior to. So I don't know if those two are connected or if they're different.
How old is she?
She is 7.5 now.
Okay.
And we got her, she was 18 months old.
Do you go to a chiropractor?
I do, and I have taken Dream to a chiropractor as well.
Who have you taken her to?
Your buddy.
Okay.
Debbie.
Okay. If you were to feel on the right side of the occiput, do you feel any heat there? Does the right side of the occiput going into the neck, and there are some there's an acupressure point right where the occiput meets the axis and the axle where the spine comes out of. On either side of so there's acupressure points. Bladder 10 is right there. It's a little indent on either side of the spine. So if you take your thumb, your right thumb. Okay. Do you feel more pressure on the right side than the left side? Do you feel more, not pressure, do you feel more thickness?
Yes.
Okay. And would you say if you were to feel along that right side of the neck, do you feel almost like the right shoulder is coming toward the neck? Or is it there's more of an elongation on the left side of the neck?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you a little secret about stress-induced seizures that a lot of people don't talk about. There's usually some sort of pressure on the right side of the... So when someone tells me that their dog has seizures, the first thing I do is I check the, you know, I do a medical intuition scan and feel into that body, and I can feel that right side, and, you know, on the phone I can walk through somebody the situation just like I did with you. And, you know, sometimes I don't feel like that, and it might be more of an epileptic thing, and or it might be more of a neurotoxin. You know, there's all different kinds of reasons for seizures, but generally, the stress-induced, it feels, you know, it's almost always instantly, I feel that right side. And in her case, not all cases, in her case, I even feel that right shoulder sliding toward the ear. So there's lots you can do, just little home body work stuff. And I, so that point I just told you about, that bladder 10, is a great place to start, which is, you know, if you're just watching TV, and I'm talking about an ounce of pressure. If you were just to hold in there with the intention of, I'm really just relieving this area for her, you're going to do a whole lot of good. And then also stretching that shoulder back. And, you know, I know it will probably seem uncomfortable, but You want to stretch both sides to be even, but you want to be really bringing that shoulder back. I feel like, and not in all cases, it's always the right side of the head with a stress seizure, almost always. I'm sure there's some exceptions that I've yet to see. In her case, I think you know that you're heading toward one when that right neck is a little inflamed or the right shoulder is coming toward the ear. So I think you've got a better indicator than most people, because I think she may even have like an off gait. I don't know if when she trots along. Yes. Yeah. So if it worsens.
Okay.
So what?
I'm just going, okay.
Yeah, so if it worsens, you know you might be heading toward, you might need more magnesium, you might need a few things to kind of calm that down. The other thing that I'm picking up on right away was, I think that sometimes you'll notice, and it's super subtle, that there might be a change in her breathing. Especially, you know, I know Colorado, and I know living there, at elevation with, an element of heat, I feel like, does she have more of them in the summer?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like there's just something with the heat and the summer that brings on a certain amount of stress. So, it's a breathing thing. So, another little trick you could do is, I'm giving you all of this up front, is kind of in cranial sacral what they would call a diaphragm release. So it would be, is she lying down or sitting up right now?
Laying down.
Okay, so slide one hand under her ribs and on the other hand place over the ribs. You know, and this is just, what you're imagining is that you're just opening the diaphragm. And if you do this once or twice a day in the summer, you're expanding this area and her opportunity for breath. And you might look at some essential oils to enhance the breath, you know. Didn't you take class down at, you took my class down at Frances Cleveland's place?
Yes, I'm taking her essential oils class.
Oh, good, okay. So I would ask her about the breathing, because I think that the breathing shortens, the neck tightens, that right side gets a little more intense.
Okay.
And I think that some of that stopping on the trail is, not, you know, I don't think you're near Seizureville, but I think it's an indication that these first three weird steps are happening, right?
Okay.
That the breathing is off, the right shoulder is funky, it's pulling toward
the
right
neck. Because
she does
start panting when she, you know, says, I've had enough, and just starts, it's been when we've been on walks, and then she'll just go, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then we carry her the rest of the way. So,
which is always
okay.
Fun. That's your weight training. okay, so the other funny thing about her that's not with, you know, I don't want everybody to listen and think, oh, every single seizure dog is going to be just like this. I feel like she's got something going on in the jaw and the salivary glands also. Does she lick a lot all of a sudden when she's going into that breathing spell?
Possibly.
I mean, I think you might even notice before the breathing goes that if you see her kind of licking a lot, or there's a lot of stuff in the mouth all of a sudden, or maybe she even kind of wisps along a long piece of grass, that you've got a little bit of something going on right then. And then it's going to be the breathing, and then it's going to be the right shoulder and the shortened neck and the tightened right side of the occiput.
Okay.
But I also think that just separately or from one of the seizures, her jaw goes out of alignment. maybe went out of alignment the first seizure. And then I feel like also the left hind. So, you know,
Jet has worked on her rear end a lot. And the first time that happened, her anal glands just exploded. And ever since, they've been kind of weepy on occasion. Not constantly, but every once in a while, they'll express themselves without any assistance.
Yeah. So it's it is an enormous amount of pressure, kind of compression. You know what I mean? Like everything's compressed in there. So it makes sense to me that the anal glands would have just immediately released. But because the compression is so great up front, that another thing, so you've got that little acupressure point on the head, and then you've got the little cranial sacral move with the diaphragm, then just like stroking from the top of her head down to her hind end and stopping for a second at the sacrum and then moving on through the end of her tail. Like, so it's like, you're moving. Oh, I'm slowing way down at the sacrum, moving at the end of the tail. Like doing that 3 or 4 times, like twice a day. And you might actually even start with that and then do the head and it's hard to say what came first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know if I want bigger breathing better first or, getting that. But I feel like I talk about this a lot with in the university that, because we're in a whole chakra series right now and first, second, and third, next week we're on third chakra. And, you know, when an animal has something go on, they turn into what I call two legs and a head. They turn into the front two legs and the head. And so that hind end needs some reminder when there's so much pressure from the shoulders forward.
Okay.
And I guess a fourth little thing you could do as a reminder is, you might want to do it on all 4 feet, but there's acupressure points on the bottom of the feet, and the acupressure point on the bottom of the hind feet. You might spend a little more time to just kind of ground that energy. And those sorts of things, like as I said, if you see her being kind of mouthy and funny and maybe kind of needing to lick stuff on the trail and then goes into that panting, you could do the diaphragm release if you see her doing the licking thing.
Okay. And the other thing she does is every other season she goes into a modified false pregnancy.
And what do people attribute that to? Because I have kind of a kooky idea, but go ahead.
Haven't addressed it with anybody.
It's really interesting that you say that, because I just got off the phone with a horse in Virginia that had such horrific stuff go on with the her hormones, that they actually had the ovaries removed, which isn't a very common thing for, what we geld male horses. We pretty much leave female horses intact. But I had gotten a sense from this horse that there had been a pretty significant crashing in a training session when she was very, very young, and that the sacrum had been out the entire time. So I just wonder, if in this front end business, if there wasn't a weird shut off to the hind end and a pressure from the sacrum that would be placed on the ovaries. Just a thought, but I don't,
That makes a lot of sense.
Today must be sacrum and ovary day. Okay. So, yeah, and I don't know that I would have put that together if I hadn't just talked to that horse this morning.
Sure.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. So, and all the more reason to do that stroking along so that the body is reminded where to go, where to be.
Okay.
Okay, so when you first, how old was she? So she's 7 and a half. How old was she when you first discovered the seizures?
It was like a day or two after we got her.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old was she when you got her?
Let's see, 12. It was a year and a half.
Something and where like did that. You get her from?
A breeder out of South Dakota.
And did she just love that breeder?
She was between two folks, and she really loved the girl that was the daughter of the co-breeders. And I kept hearing, I asked her if she wanted to keep her name, and I kept hearing a name, and she's going, no, and then she kept repeating it, and I didn't learn until maybe a year later that I met the lady's daughter, and that was the abbreviation for her first name. The first show that we went to, she went up to a person that we bought her from. We call him Grandpa Larry because he has kind of fluffy cheeks, and so does she. And she was very distressed that he didn't respond to her in a way that she was hoping. And she started verbalizing to the other Shebas that were in their cages waiting to get groomed, and I went, oh my goodness. And they're cowering in the corner, and she's mouthing off at them, and I'm going, what's that all about? But she seems to be very happy and content now, but initially she was upset.
Yeah.
Hugely.
There
was no explanation.
Were they planning to breed her?
Possibly, but I know we were going to at least have one litter with her, and then after she had seizures, we opted not to do that. We didn't want to put her in any kind of danger.
And did she, who else lives in your household?
It's basically my husband and I, and then we have his daughter who is here roughly every other weekend. She's now 17.
I lived with that schedule for 8 years.
Wow.
Having stepkids. It is. I have really good friends now that are large stepkids. Okay. Stepdaughter. And okay, so what I'm gonna do is do a little round with both of you.
Okay.
Okay, so she was supposed to be, she was with this breeder, she was very loved, may have been a shock to her system that she came to you.
Well, she was used to going back and forth for shows, and I think she just thought it was another person that was going to handle her in shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it feels like, you know what it feels like? That as much as this is an aloof breed, that she's one of the more gregarious gals. It feels like she's got a little... Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, of course, all on her terms.
Of course.
Yeah, but it does feel like there's a little like, look at me. And she's
yes.
got... yeah, when she wants, she's got a big personality.
Yes. In Healing Touch, they nicknamed her Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Yep, I bet. Yeah, she's got definitely a little movie star personality. And not
yes.
just any movie star, like an Oscar-winning movie star, like a Meryl Streep.
Of course.
Yeah. And all of a sudden her eyes bat and, you know, she's paying close attention and that
uh-huh.
just might not serve her. And she's done. So
she likes the show and things like that, but leave her mouth alone.
You know, that it's that jaw thing.
You know, maybe it got dislocated with somebody messing with her jaw too hard.
It may have gotten dislocated in one of the seizures.
Ah, okay.
And
all
right. people
that
are doing...
Explain a bunch. Yeah. It's aggravating it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're just like, you know, messing with something that shouldn't be messed with. Just being protective. Okay, so
plus
I
also had dental work.
Yeah, which would also aggravate all of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I feel like also this really startled her the first time she had a seizure.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Luckily, I knew what it was because I'd had other dogs that had seizures.
And were all of them stress-related?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but you got lucky with, if you're going to have seizures, you got the lucky kind, because this is
yeah.
manageable. Okay, now, let's go to what happened for you when this happened. How did you feel when this first happened?
Oh, crap.
Here we go again.
Kind of. I was more concerned initially that she was going to be okay, and I knew that I immediately had to calm myself and get very grounded instantly so that she wouldn't be fearful. My husband, on the other hand, had no idea what was going on. Eventually he did. But. And then he knew how to handle her after that.
And does it weigh on you?
For a while it did, but it doesn't anymore because I'm very aware of, you know, things that I need to be aware of. You've added more information, and it's just kind of like this is what it is. And I make sure that, you know, she's not put into any situations that can aggravate things.
Do you feel sad about it?
A little bit.
What makes you sad about it?
That there are times that she can't be her craziness that she wants to be. But for the most part, she's a very happy little girl and very content. So I'm good with that. If anything, I get more protective than sad.
And you're protecting her well-being?
Yeah. Sometimes I get a little scared at my husband because he doesn't check in on it, and I have to tell him what's going on. He goes, oh, okay. And then he gets it. But he goes off and has his narrow focus on things at the time.
What a shock. I'm just kidding.
He's a good guy, but, you know,
no, I'm sure, yeah. I imagine you're with a very great guy. Yeah, but he's still a guy.
Yeah.
Do you get scared?
Probably.
What?
One of these people that will deal with the situation at hand, and I have the aftershock of what happens later on.
I'm the same way. But
that's
do you
why
think
I work
you...
really well as an EMT.
Yeah. Wow. Good for you. Do you harbor like a fear that you won't control a situation and it'll go south?
I have that propensity. I've been through a lot with a lot of animals and that type of thing. And I know that at some point there are things that I can't do. I know there are things that the vets can't do. And I just have to let it go. It's kind of like if some of this is meant to be, it's meant to be. I don't know totally what their path is and what they're trying to learn. Or what I'm supposed to be learning from it.
Well, you just got 4 new moves from me.
Yeah. They're awesome. That's why I keep taking numerous classes on numerous things.
That's great.
More tools in my tool bag.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start with her.
Okay.
And you know what? I want you to tap on the right side of her.
Okay. Of course, that's the side she's laying on.
Of course. I got to get to my demo model here. I like to tap on one of my dogs while I'm tapping with you so that I'm remembering to say what I'm supposed to say. She loves being a demo model. There's one time I was going to do it without, and I had someone in the other room, and she scratched on the door until I let her in and I tapped on her. So I could have started, but she would have found me. All right. So we'll just do a little setup statement with you and the karate chop, and then we'll go right into the points, and I'll walk you through the points. Okay. So with the karate chop for you, and we're speaking on behalf of Dream, even though I have seizures, I love and accept myself.
Even though I have seizures, I love and accept myself.
Even though I have these stupid seizures, I love and accept myself.
Even though I have these stupid seizures, I love and accept myself.
I can't believe that my life has been limited because of these stinking, stupid seizures.
I can't believe my life has been limited by these stupid, stinking seizures.
And I honor the choices I'm making.
And I honor the choices that I make.
Okay, so starting on the inside of the eye, I can't believe it.
I can't believe it.
Outside of the eye. These things are so stupid.
These things are so stupid.
Under the eye. They are completely in my way.
They are completely in my way.
On the top of the nose, they are messy.
They are messy.
Under the chin. I never know when they're going to come on.
I never know when they're going to come on.
Inside of the chest, it feels completely out of control. And you might, if you can reach like the top part of your hand to get that lung one up high and the lower part, like if you can almost do like a bear claw size thing in the chest, like you're getting lung one and kidney 27. You're getting both those are very important points. Okay?
Okay.
The top of the head. It just seems so stupid.
It just seems so stupid.
Inside of the eye. I feel like my life crashed.
I feel like my life crashed.
Outside of the eye. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what's happening.
Under the eye. But it gets very scary.
But it gets very scary.
Top of the nose. It gets all dark.
It gets all dark.
Under the chin. Like the lights are going on and off.
Like the lights are going on and off.
And the collarbone, or inside of the chest. And I can't breathe.
And I can't breathe.
Top of the head. And I can't control my body.
And I can't control my body.
Inside of the eye. I can't control my body.
I can't control my body.
Outside of the eye. I can't control my body.
I can't control my body.
Under the eye. It's really sad to not control my body.
It's really sad not to control my body.
Top of the nose. And it's scary to not control my body.
And it's scary not to control my body.
It's scary. I'm sorry, under the chin. It's scary.
It's scary.
Inside of the chest. It's so scary.
It's so scary.
Top of the head. I always feel better when I see my people.
I always feel better when I see my people.
Inside of the eye. And I know that they're there.
I know that they're there.
Outside of the eye. But I feel like I should have some control.
But I feel like I should have some control.
Under the eye. The one thing about me.
The one thing about me.
Top of the nose. Is I'm super smart.
I'm super smart.
Under the chin. I have control of a lot of things.
I have control of a lot of things.
inside of the chest. I mean, I like having control.
I like having control.
Top of the head. I have control of my people.
I have control of my people.
Inside of the eye. And I'm super beautiful.
And I'm super beautiful.
Outside of the eye. So people don't mind giving control over to me.
So people don't mind giving control over to me.
Under the eye. It's normal.
It's normal.
Top of the nose. People adore me.
People adore me.
Under the chin. And I love to be adored.
And I love to be adored.
Inside the chest. And part of my control is...
Part of my control is...
Top of the head. Responding to their adoration or not.
Responding to their adoration or not.
Inside of the eye. I'm not entirely aloof.
I'm not entirely aloof.
Outside of the eye. I'm in control.
I'm in control.
Under the eye. I like being in control.
I like being in control. Great big sigh.
Top of the nose. It is important for me to be in control.
It's important for me to be in control.
Under the chin. I had a pretty dandy life going from handler to handler.
I had a pretty dandy life going from handler to handler.
Inside the chest. And it was quite shocking to suddenly be sold.
It was quite shocking to be suddenly sold.
Top of the head. I was heartbroken.
I was heartbroken.
Inside of the eye. I was really sad.
I was really sad.
Outside of the eye. I love my people now.
I love my people now.
Under the eye. And I know they wouldn't sell me.
And I know they wouldn't sell me.
Top of the nose. But it was really shocking.
But it was really shocking.
Under the chin. Up until that point, I'd been really adaptable.
Up until that point, I'd been really adaptable.
Inside the chest. But now I know I need control.
But now I know I need control.
Top of the head, and that was totally out of control.
And that was totally out of control.
Inside of the eye. No one told me.
No one told me.
Outside of the eye. They didn't tell me they had other plans.
They didn't tell me they had other plans.
Under the eye. They didn't tell me that they made this radical decision.
They didn't tell me they made this radical decision.
Top of the nose. My life changed because of their decision.
My life changed because of their decision.
Under the chin. And that was really sad.
And that was really sad.
Inside the chest. I have been heartbroken.
I have been heartbroken.
Top of the head. And then I've been really, really loved by these other people.
Say that again.
Then I've been really, really loved by these other people.
And then I've been really, really loved by these other people.
Inside the eye. Who've turned out to be my people.
Who've turned out to be my people.
Outside the eye. And I really, really love them.
And I really, really love them.
Under the eye. And sometimes when I get a little stressed.
And sometimes when I get a little stressed.
Top of the nose. Sometimes when they get a little stressed.
And sometimes when they get a little stressed.
Under the chin, it gets out of control again.
It gets out of control again.
Inside of the chest, and that's scary.
And that's scary.
Top of the head. I know I am a force to be reckoned with.
I know I'm a force to be reckoned with.
Inside of the eye. And I am willing to be in my own beautiful bubble.
And I am willing to be in my own beautiful bubble.
Outside of the eye. I am willing to just be me.
I'm willing just to be me.
Under the eye, I don't need to take on their stress.
I don't need to take on their stress.
Top of the nose. In fact, their stress is their stress.
In fact, their stress is their stress.
Under the chin, and frankly, they can have their stress.
And frankly, they can have their stress.
Inside of the chest. I am just going to be fabulous.
I am just going to be fabulous.
Top of the head, because that is who I am.
Because that is who I am.
Okay, now let's go to some tapping for you.
Okay.
So we'll do another little setup statement with the karate chop. Even though my dog has seizures.
Even though my dog has seizures.
And it's terrifying.
There's a great big sigh.
But yeah, my dog groaned on behalf. My dog did a little surrogate groaning.
There we go. That's exactly what it was.
Okay. All right. So even though it can be terrifying.
Even though it can be terrifying.
I love and accept myself.
I love and accept myself.
Even though I know I don't.
Even though I know I don't.
But sometimes I fear.
But sometimes I fear.
That I contribute to.
That I contribute to.
These damn stress-induced seizures.
These damn induced stress-induced seizures.
And I love and accept myself.
And I love and accept myself.
Even though I can't stand that I have to deal with this again.
Even though I can't stand that I have to deal with this again.
At least I know what to do.
At least I know what to do.
And I honor the choices I make.
And I honor the choices that I make.
Okay, tapping on the inside of the eye. I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it.
Outside of the eye, I am completely heartbroken.
I am completely heartbroken.
Under the eye, how could I have another dog with a seizure?
How could I have another dog with a seizure?
Under the nose, deep in my heart, I know what this means.
Deep in my heart, I know what this means.
Under the lips, it isn't good.
It isn't good.
Collarbone, it's a really scary outcome.
It's a really scary outcome.
Top of the head, and I get scared.
And I get scared.
Inside of the eye, it makes me so sad for her.
It makes me so sad for her.
Outside of the eye, because here was this darling little being.
Here was this darling little being.
Under the eye, whose life is limited.
Whose life is limited.
Under the nose, because of these crazy seizures.
Because of whose life is limited due to these crazy seizures.
Under the lips, it makes me sad.
It makes me sad.
Collarbone, really sad.
Really sad.
Top of the head, and fearful sometimes.
And fearful sometimes.
Inside of the eye, I get fearful for her.
I get fearful for her.
Outside of the eye, I get fearful because of her.
I get fearful because of her.
Under the eye. And because of that, I get super protective.
And because of that, I get super protective.
Under the nose, in an enhanced control freak way.
An enhanced control freak way.
Under the lips, I have to be a control freak.
I have to be a control freak.
Collarbone, I have to tell my husband what to do.
I have to tell my husband what to do.
Top of the head, I like control.
I like control.
Inside of the eye, and sometimes I feel like I live with a bunch of people that don't seem to get that.
Sometimes it feels like I live with a bunch of people who don't get that.
Inside of the eye, at least my dog is just like me.
At least my dog is just like me.
Under the eye, we are very alike.
We are very alike.
under the nose. I am protective for her.
I am protective for her.
Under the lips. I've had to be.
I've had to be.
Collarbone. I don't let her be in any situation that can aggravate things.
I don't let her be in a situation that can aggravate things.
Top of the head. I am aware of things I need to be aware of.
I am aware of things that I need to be aware of.
Inside of the eye. It used to weigh on me.
It used to weigh on me.
Outside of the eye. But I am really aware of how necessary it is.
But I am really aware of how necessary it is.
Under the eye. Because if it were up to my husband, I don't know if it would get done.
If it were up to my husband, I don't know if it would get done.
Under the nose. He knows once I tell him.
He knows once I tell him.
Under the lips, but I have a lot of telling him to do.
I have a lot of telling him to do.
Collarbone. But at the end of the day.
But at the end of the day.
Top of the head, I'm pretty lucky.
I'm pretty lucky.
Inside of the eye, because he does get it.
Because he does get it.
Outside of the eye, and they are only stress-induced seizures.
And they are only stress-induced seizures.
Under the eye, and I'm pretty proud of myself for the way I maintain the household.
And I'm pretty proud of myself for the way I've maintained the household.
Under the nose, because I do keep her healthy.
Because I do keep her healthy.
Under the lips, I do have it under control.
I do have it under control.
Collarbone. And I will vow to let go of...
And I vow that I will let go of...
Top of the head. Any bit of my personal life...
Any bit of my personal life...
Inside of the eye that's spilling onto hers...
That's spilling onto her...
Outside of the eye, I will see her as autonomous.
I will see her as autonomous.
Under the eye, her own little being.
Her own little being.
Under the nose, in her own little bubble.
In her own little bubble.
Under the
like
within our household.
Within our household.
Collarbone, and whenever I feel like the lines are blurred.
And whenever I feel that the lines are blurred.
Top of the head, like I'm too into my own stuff.
Like I'm in too much of my own stuff.
Inside mm-hmm. of the eye, and it's getting messy.
And it's getting messy.
Outside of the eye, or my husband's in his own world.
Or my husband's in his own world.
Under the eye, and it's leaking out.
And it's leaking out.
Under the nose, I'll just re-embubble her.
I'll just re-embubble her.
Under the lips, she can just live in a bubble.
She can just live in a bubble.
Collarbone, within our big bubble.
Within our big bubble.
Top of the head. She really is lucky that I do have all this knowledge.
She really is lucky that I do have all this knowledge.
Inside of the eye, I continue to educate myself.
I continue to educate myself.
Outside of the eye, I continue to create more tools.
I continue to create more tools.
Under the eye, and as a result...
As a result,
under the nose, she's a very happy girl.
She's a very happy girl.
Under the lips, and I'm a happy girl.
And I'm a happy girl.
Collarbone, we do have a really great thing.
We really do have a great thing.
Top of the head, we have a great family.
We have a great family.
Okay, take a deep breath. How How do you think, do you feel any shifting?
Yeah, I did. Things feel lighter.
Yeah. And how about her? How does she seem?
I think she's more mellow, if she can be any more mellow than she is right now, but a little more relief. I'm glad Mom gets it. Is that it? Yes, dear. I do. So while we were tapping, sometimes I would... Well, she's laying down with her head down, and I have to pick her chin up to tap. And she would start licking when I started lifting on the left side. But I think you're onto something there, big time.
Yeah, you know... Yeah, and the other piece is, how is her digestion?
It's off and on with gas. Right now, she's doing pretty good, but there have been times that she'll get gassy.
Do you notice any link up between the gas and that, the seizures?
I haven't put those two together. I'll be aware of that.
Just because the salivary glands are always, you know, for every being, the first step of digestion, right? And because
right.
those seem to be overactive, you know, it's also a place of relaxation and what have you. But for her, it's, you know, it's also, I think, somewhere in there, the first step, and it could be even a couple of days before, if they're overactive, that you might be heading towards something, and then you might... be able to even release some of the gas, or you might notice gas. So I just think there might be something in there that's related, and it's that's fixable, right? That's then you can address before it goes too far. And,
yep.
you know, I don't know if Debbie has you on a bunch of magnesium, but I know, I'll tell you, I have a really funny story that ends well. But I had, in 1997 or 98, at the time MSNBC had a big sports, they were trying to do an element of sports. And so they flew me down to the Kentucky Derby, and all the trainers there, let me talk to their horses. And Bob Baffert, whose horse just won the Triple Crown, you know, he actually followed me around and tried to find out what the other horses had said.
Which one was that?
Bob Baffert.
Okay.
His horse just won, America Pharaoh just won the Triple Crown this time. But at the time, he had another horse. But so all the trainers let me talk to their horses, and as I said, Bob Baffert followed me around. Now, Nick Zito, one of the top trainers, would not let me talk to his horse. He had that whole, like, there's a pet psychic on the back stretch, shut the shutters. You know, because there a lot of racetrack people are very superstitious. So
highly superstitious.
What's that?
I said highly superstitious.
Yeah. So he was like, he didn't want me to jinx his horse, you know, the whole nine yards. So he didn't let me talk to his horse. So I managed to talk to the horse anyway with the other rider, and anyway, the whole thing was fine. And the MSNBC did a really cool piece because they printed and, you know, followed through with everything. They did a little bit of video and then printed and reprinted everything the horses had to say. So it was very, very fun. But many years later, I'm living in Florida, and a trainer friend of mine says, this woman wants to meet you. Her name is Kim Zito. She's Nick Zito's wife. And I was like, oh, that's fascinating. So I go out to the barn, and I talk to all of her horses, and she rescues. She's got a thoroughbred rescue, and she takes a lot of these horses that don't do well at the track and does great things with them, and she's awesome. And so anyway, I worked with her a lot over the years with horses and still do, but what is pretty wild is I saw it the first time I met her, if like by the fourth or fifth horse I felt comfortable enough to tell her the story of her husband, you know, 10 years prior, and she loved it. And so and she just laughed, and she's like, oh, that's so sounds like him. So anyway, at some point she said to me, she called me one the next year when she was down in Florida, and she's like, do you know I know what you do with horses, do you do the same thing with dogs? And I said, oh, of course. I have a third. I'm dogs, cats, and horses. So, yeah, bring me your dog. So I went out to meet the six horses that she rescued, and she brought her dog and Nick's dog, and they're both labs. And Nick's dog was the love of his life, and he had seizures. And she's like, he's on phenobarbital. I said, no, this is one of these stress seizures. And this was in about 04, so it wasn't quite 10 years after. Anyway, so I distribute for Dynamite, and I said, these are stress seizures. And so I showed her that point. I showed all the things I told you to do. It's kind of my little seizure protocol. Which I didn't do the breathing thing, the diaphragm thing, because he had a different kind of set of problems. So I gave her some other exercises, but mainly that bladder sweep and the acupressure point at bladder 10 and probably grounding. All of those things, grounding with the bottom of the feet. There might have been one or two other exercises I gave her. And then I had her, she ordered a bunch of the Dynamite magnesium from me. And that dog never seized again. And the next year when she was down in Florida for the races, she was like, oh, my God, Joan, Nick hates to have to admit that you saved his dog.
I hate when that happens.
Exactly. So, and eventually, I think about a couple of years ago, the dog died, but he lived a very long life, and he didn't die because of seizures. He died at a very ripe old age. So, you know, stress seizures are the least of the seizure category. So, you know, and I know that, you know, so a couple of things you can be doing is, you know, like we talked about in the tapping, when you know that you're getting a little messy with your own life, and we all do it, you know, just embubble her. Like, you are your own dog in your own little world over here, and I'm just going to do my stupid people stuff over here. The magnesium, I think, is a really powerful, powerful thing because it relaxes the muscles and the emotions. And if she's feeling tension even from you, it's going to, you know, seize up her muscles. And so all of it, you know, works together. And then I'd really be looking at, in her case, and not in every single seizure case do I feel this, but I feel like, as I said, the salivary glands and the breathing are very related to kind of the onset. And I think the jaw was jammed in one of the seizures, so you might have Debbie look at that. But I would, you know, be looking at the essential oils that could open up the breathing. And maybe you take those on the trail with you,
okay,
right? Whether it's eucalyptus or something that just makes her go, ah, okay, I took a deeper breath and my muscles aren't stuck anymore.
Okay.
And
the plan.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, all of this is really doable, and if there's anybody that's capable, it's you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And just a note, we did the thing about her responding to electronic noise.
Yes.
And that has pretty much dissipated itself just with one session.
That is amazing.
She's very receptive to all this. She loves all this energy healing stuff.
Well, then, let's get rid of these seizures, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, that was really... To me, it felt really good while it was happening, and I'm hoping that I wasn't just on some fake high.
You got it.
Yeah, it felt like we were moving some big energy.
Yeah. Especially for her about some things.
Yeah.
Because I think she's been holding on to some things that I think she finally let go of.
Yeah, you know, it is what people forget is, and I'm not probably you, but they love those people before us too. And
yeah.
Sometimes that's a big shock.
Huge shock.
Yeah, and then they also love us. But it doesn't, there's a disconnect.
Yeah.
And, you know, when
yeah,
we
she
can
was
bring.
Really crushed. She was really crushed when Grandpa Larry didn't fawn all over her like he used to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's devastating.
It is.
Well, this is, you know, big move.
Yes.
All right. Does anyone else have any questions, comments, observations?
Yes, I have a quick question. Why do you think that tension happens just on the right or specifically on the right?
I have no idea. I just, you know, after 25 years of doing it, that's what I found. I've talked to other chiropractors, and they all say, yeah, that's the same thing they found. I have no clue.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it maybe is on both sides, but because the right side of the brain controls something, it just feels stronger.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting. Okay.
If I think Caroline's going to be here. Susan Crawford may be coming up for the EFT class, and she teaches the cranial sacral. She's actually out of Denver. Has taught cranial sacral here. And she might have a great theory about it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, any other questions, comments, observations?
I just have a very relaxed young lady here. So.
That's awesome. Well, I really look forward to hearing how it goes.
Thanks. I will let everybody know.
Yeah. And Karen, are you still with us? Do you have any questions, comments, observations from the cafe?
No, I'm still here, but I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Thank you. And Elaine? Elaine?
That took a while. Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Any observations?
What do you need?
Questions? Observations?
You know, I will say I'm going to go back to the beginning of the call. that question of what does or doesn't it cover medically, and your answer, that answer, I wrote down a lot of it because it just makes a lot of sense to do both. And just the examples of how you work on the animal from the animal's point of view, for me, were invaluable because that's where I think I struggle.
Yeah. And for anybody that I don't know, I should probably announce this. If anybody wants to hop on a flight, I am teaching an in-person class. I know you've gotten a ton out of this, but there's going to be even more kind of almost drilling it with jumping in with people. It'll be a little bit of a hands-on, a really hands-on class. And I always do if you've done one class with me, you get a 10 days of 10% off. And normally I'd say that at the end of the class, but I'd be happy to give 10% off if any of you want to hop a flight and come on up July 15th through the 17th. So anyway, Shiloh, if you wanted to hop on a flight, it'd be pretty fun.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Dynamics don't allow me right now, but I would love to.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll probably do it again, but I know I will, because I think it's going to be like crazy, wacky, tapping fun. But yeah, it is so important to look at it from the animal's perspective. What other perspective do we really have? I mean, we have the humans and we have the animals, but if we're that practitioner in the middle, we've got to stand in the middle of it. Does that make sense, Elaine?
Mm-hmm. It does. I think it's just hard for me to put myself there, and I guess I just want to feel accurate, whatever that, you know. I'm still wrapped up in that. Yeah, I'll let loose of it after a while. But
you know, there's something that happened here that I couldn't have expected, was how much the control, like, once I got in there, I was realizing how much control was an issue, and intellectually that wasn't something that came up for me when I was asking questions. It came up through the tapping. So you have to let yourself go with it a little bit. The control being an issue, you know, for both of them.
The entire house.
Yeah.
My husband's a police officer.
Yeah. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot. You know, that's a lot of control. It's not, and no judgment, right? Some of us are just hardwired for control. It's why we ride dressage. Just saying. Yeah, it is just the way it is, you know, and there's some ways that we're easy breezy and some ways we need control, and there's nothing wrong. It's just if we can manage that and it isn't in somebody's way. The problem is that even for Miss Aloof Pants, you know, she's got a little, like, wants to help, wants to be in it with you, and she's, you know, so... Your control is you've got to embubble her and say, I'm so glad you want to be in my stuff, but you need to be over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she'll pull stuff off and then I go, it's not your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to take it on.
Yeah.
And then she looked at me like,
that's been an ongoing 13-and-a-half-year conversation between me and Olivia, my half-border collie, German Shepherd, 100% Scorpio. My mantra is, you're the dog. You get to be the dog.
This lifetime.
Yeah, you get to be the dog, half of us.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is an important behalf because you get me out of my head because we have to go outside.
Yeah.
Like, that role is hugely important. And the more you make that role really recognizable and enjoyable than, you know, you're not so unified. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm the dog half. I'll go. She can be like, I'll go do this. I'll get you out of the house today. But, you know, sometimes, especially us smarty pants who have a control need, don't realize how big our brains get and it can take over a whole house. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Paula, did you have any comments, observations?
No, not really. Although some of the techniques that you were talking to Shiloh about, I've been doing with Maggie, with the pads of her feet and, you know, the pressure behind the occiput, and then the stroking down her body, out her yeah. tail. And
has it helped?
Yeah, it does to some degree, yes. It's interesting that the first time I stroke her, the first time I have my fingers at her occiput, but sometimes she presses into it, sometimes she tries to shake her head away from it. But when I stroke her down her back the first time, it's quiet. But then with each successive time, she makes these, I think they're happy noises, you know, just and will kind of stretch out a little bit, almost like, oh, yeah, that's what I needed. And basically every time I talk to her, go out in that chair and talk to her, I do a few strokings on her. I think it's helped. I think she likes that part, actually.
And that's the thing, is it doesn't, you know, Shiloh, I know you know this, it doesn't have to be like some formal, okay, and now we're doing body work. You know, it can be like literally I'm walking by you and I'm doing a little drive-by, I'll get three, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do, actually.
Yeah.
She tolerates it a lot better. It's just sort of like a loving kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know. So. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
I was saying the front pads and the back pads, just right kind of where the, behind where the pad is. Does it, you do all four, I think you were saying to me?
Yeah. You would do all four. And it's not that she wouldn't do all four, but she would do all four, but spend a little more time in that hind end. Well, I mean, you might spend a little more time in the hind end. You both have very similar compression up in the front end of the body. It's just that result is different. You have an older cat that's not jumping, and she has a dog that the compression is ending up all in that occiput and resulting in seizures. So, you know, you're wanting to bring, you know, it's in both situations, you know, you think of, in Chinese medicine, they say, you know, here's the river and there's a flow, and whenever there's been an injury or an illness, it's like putting a boulder in the middle of that flow, and the energy has to move around it, and so that takes even more energy to move around it rather than just being a straight flow. So what you're doing is reminding the flow to be distributed evenly. Because at this point, in Shiloh's case, there's the boulder is sitting right there on the right side under the occiput.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any more questions, comments? Caroline, do you have any more questions, comments, observations about today?
Nope. That was awesome.
Yeah, this was really good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And Shiloh and Dream, thank you.
Thank you for being there.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I still just kind of, I didn't glaze over the fact that you did say, it is pretty profound to think that sound issue is in one shot. That is exciting. This has been an amazing group, by the way. I'm really...
Thanks. You're pretty amazing, too.
Well, thank you.
We can give you compliments, too.
All right. Every now and then I'll take them in.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, you guys. Have fun. And we will. I will try to get with Elaine today and come up with the makeup class, Karen, and onward and upward.
Well,
and I'm glad
you.
We have another makeup class because I would hate for this to be over. I think you guys are great.
I don't want it to be over either. I have more to learn.
All right. Have fun, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.